What is up, 49ers faithful, and welcome back to another First and 49ers podcast. I'm your host, Cole McMahon, and just recently on Wednesday, the 49ers released a 2024 schedule, so it's only right that we have to dive right into that thing. And also, I want to talk about some Jared Goff contract news, what that's going to mean for Brock Purdy. As we saw, Jared Goff got a contract making him the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And then I also want to dive a little bit into the Nick Sorensen interview, our new defensive coordinator who finally got to talk with media, and we got to hear kind of his perspective and what he wants to bring to the table in 2024 for this 49ers defense. So with that, let's get right into this thing, baby. All right, so the 49ers schedule just dropped, and I'm going to be sharing my screen right here so we can see this whole 18-week schedule, and I think you guys will be able to see my screen right here. Yes. Okay, perfect. So week one, obviously, this came out a couple days before the 49ers' entire schedule came out, but we're playing the Jets week one on Monday Night Football against Aaron Rodgers at home at Levi Stadium. It's going to be a fantastic way to start the year for the 49ers. It's going to be exciting to see what the Jets can bring along. We're playing against Robert Saleh, Kyle Shanahan, that rematch right there, that matchup, coaching-wise. And hopefully we're able to see Aaron Rodgers be able to play more than 4 minutes in the game and not tearing his Achilles, which was just terrible to see last year for him. And the funny thing is, our newly signed Leonard Floyd was the one to injure Aaron Rodgers, I guess, last year. So that's gonna be really interesting. Hopefully that kind of is a mental thing for Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, it's gonna be a mental thing for Aaron Rodgers, knowing that we beat him four times in the playoffs. So it's just gonna be a fun matchup, guys. Start the 49ers to start the season at home in primetime fashion is gonna be great. The 49ers got 6 primetime games this year: 2 Monday nights, 2 Sunday nights, and 2 Thursday night football games. And just kind of when I looked over the schedule, I wasn't too worried about like away games and everything like that, and like the travel and everything. And according to CBS John Breach, the 49ers have the 12th toughest schedule in the NFL. So obviously the year hasn't started yet, and we don't know exactly how teams are going to look like going into this year, such as like the Chicago Bears and everything, but we got the 12th hardest schedule, so we're kind of in the middle pack there. So just seeing those kind of statistics, you're like, okay, we're not doing too bad. And to start the season, we're playing the Jets, which is we didn't see the Jets with Aaron Rodgers last year, so we don't know how that's going to look like. But the first 5 games of the season, we got week 2 against the Vikings, week 3 both of these away against the Rams, and then we come back home and we play the Patriots and the Cardinals. So right there, the first 5 games of the season, you think, all right, we should at least go 4-1, maybe 5-0. I'm predicting the 49ers to beat the Jets on Monday Night Football. So right there, and then I'm thinking the Niners are 5-0, and then we go away, which is our second primetime game, Thursday Night Football against the Seahawks in Seattle. So those are always fun. The last time we played them in Seattle, the 49ers on Thanksgiving, and we took them down on Thanksgiving. So that was always that's going to be a fun memory and just a fun rematch to face our division rival then. The Rams, I should backtrack a little bit here. The Rams are a good team. They made the playoffs last year with Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua, rookie. I think he was the rookie of the year, right? Offensive rookie of the year. Outstanding season for him. Outstanding wide receiver. So the first six weeks of the season, guys, we got those covered. And then we go into week 7 against the Chiefs, Super Bowl rematch after the heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching loss for the Niners. And we're playing them at home this year. And I don't know, can't even remember the last time we beat the Chiefs, but we didn't beat them in the Super Bowl. We didn't beat them the last time we played them. I think that was 2022. We had Jimmy G. I think that was Christian McCaffrey's first game. We kind of got blown out there. So that's going to be an interesting one. I'm going back and forth on that one. And then we're playing at home again, and this is our third primetime game of the season against the Cowboys, America's team, on NBC Sunday Night Football. And Tom Brady, it's reported that Tom Brady's going to be announcing that game, broadcasting that game. So that'll be a fun one right there. 49ers Cowboys, Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, and we do damage against the Cowboys all the time, so we just got to whoop them back again. They're obviously, they're a good team. Dak Prescott, they're a great regular season team, so you don't know what to expect from them. Obviously, we gave them a butt whooping last year. It was that 42-10 win against them, so if we could just do that again on primetime to show the world that the Cowboys are frauds again, I'd love to do that. And then we got a mid-season bye week, week 9. I think we had a week 9 bye last season as well. I don't know what really, if like my emotions are towards a bye week in week 9. It's kind of the middle of the season. I think it's more beneficial, honestly. I don't know the stats on any of this, but I feel like it'd be more beneficial. It's more beneficial for teams to have later buys, so like maybe a week 12 buy, something like that for the Niners, for any team, honestly, because you get just a big chunk of the season out of the way, and then you got a week to recover to finish out the season with another, you know, 6-7 games, kind of like that. That's kind of what we're looking at right here. But then we head out to Tampa Bay, week 10 against the Buccaneers, and we're back home against the Seahawks, November 17th, the Packers game. That's going to be another rematch for the playoffs. That's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be a fun game, I think. Jordan Love again. I mean, they almost beat us in the divisional round last year, beat them by a field goal. So I think that's going to be another gritty game the 49ers are going to have to try to eke out there. And then we go back. Then we go to Buffalo in December. It's going to be cold. And we have, this is our fifth? Our fourth, that's going to be our fourth primetime game, Sunday Night Football against the Bills, Josh Allen and the Bills. And it's going to be, I'm interested to see how the Bills are going to do this year after they just completely blew up their team. Stephon Diggs went to the Texans. Tre'Davious White's gone. You know, a lot of their weapons are gone and everything. So it's going to be interesting to see the Bills. I think they're always a tough matchup for the Niners. I think the last time we played the Bills, I want to say it was 2021. But I think Jimmy was hurt that game, and maybe it was 2020. I can't remember. But last time we played the Bills, we lost to them. I think Nick Mullins played that game for us. And then finally, week 14 is a big one to watch, I think. Caleb Williams, number one draft pick in the NFL this year, and he's going to have a good lineup of receivers with him. Keenan Allen, Romo Dunes. So that's one to look out for. And then we got the Rams again at home. On Amazon Prime, that's a Thursday night game for us. And then we finish out the season with the last three games. We got Dolphins in Miami. We got another rematch, Niners-Lions. That's going to be a Monday Night Football game, December 30th, so the day before New Year's Eve. And that's the NFC Championship rematch. And we know what happened last year. It was the insane comeback. Brock Purdy and the Niners to go to the Super Bowl. And then we finish out the season in Arizona against Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr., against the Cardinals, guys. So looking at this, at the schedule as a whole, I'm not, like, just the scheduling wise, the way it's set up, I wasn't really upset about how it looked, because we don't have a long stretch of games where we're away. We have, at most, I think we're away for two games at a time. We're not away for three or four games, like, away, playing away. I think the toughest stretch for the Niners is probably going to be towards the middle end of the season, where we play Seahawks at home, but then we go in November in the cold. So November 24th against the Packers at Lambeau, and then we're playing the Bills in Buffalo December 1st, and that one's a night game. So those two games especially, I think, are going to be kind of difficult for the 49ers to eke out wins there, to win games there, because of the factor from the cold. So we'll see how the wind or the weather as a whole looks at that time of year for the 49ers. Hopefully it's in our favor. Hopefully we don't see too many games, you know, raining games or anything like that. Once we get into October, Levi's, but just scheduling wise, I didn't think it was too awful. And then I kept seeing things on Twitter, and it was called like the net. People are talking about the net resting schedule or something like that. The net resting amount of time that each team has in the season. I guess we have like the fourth, like, worst or something like that. We only have like 22 days of resting or something like that in between all games. I want to pull that up here, because I wasn't really exactly sure what people were talking about, but Grant Cohn actually was talking about it, and he wrote a little article on it. So I want to share my screen here. Why the rest differential? And Grant Cohn even says it doesn't really matter because the 49ers rest differential, we had that last year and we went to the Super Bowl. The Chiefs had it last year and they went to the Super Bowl. So if we look at it here, it refers to the amount of rest. So it's called the rest differential. It refers to the amount of rest a team has before its games compared to the amount of rest its opponents have. So this year, the 49ers have a negative 22 net rest differential. Crazy stat. Everything's all about analytics these days. And Grant Cohn is saying, which sounds really bad. And we've had the worst. The 49ers have had the worst rest differential, net differential. We have the third, in the league this year. We have the worst in the league this year. So we have the worst in the league this year, and it's been the third worst since 2005. So what does this mean? Absolutely nothing, because the Rams were in the playoffs. The Chiefs were in the playoffs. They made it to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, just because I think they're saying a lot of the teams that the Niners are playing, they're coming off. I think that's what it was, the four stat. The four teams that we're playing against, they're coming off a bye. So these are kind of interesting factors for the 49ers coming into the season. But then I saw another stat on like some betting site that the 49ers are favored in 17 game in all 17 games, the first team to ever have that happen or something like that. So yeah, the rest differential, I'm not looking too much into it. I don't think you guys should either, but that's just something interesting that I never really heard of before. And I don't think it's going to be a big factor for the 49ers going into this season. And just especially, I think we also are like the fifth highest team, like to travel wise, like 22,000 miles. I mean, but I'm not too concerned about it because we're only away at most two times in the season, like consecutively. We're not away for three weeks in a row, 4 weeks in a row or something like that. We're only away for 2 weeks in a row, only a couple times. So I'm not too concerned about that. And as far as the teams that we're playing against, I mean, obviously it's going to be, we got some good teams. The Jets with Aaron Rodgers, it's always a battle, obviously, in the NFC West, and especially with the Rams. I think they're going to be good this year again. It'll be interesting to see how the Seahawks play this season with Geno Smith again. I don't know if they're going to be a crazy team to play against this year. I think the Cardinals could be a surprising team in the NFC West to do pretty well with the Marvin Harrison Jr. pick that they got in the draft. And then obviously the Chiefs and Cowboys stretch right there is going to be kind of difficult. We play Seahawks away, and then we play, thankfully, Chiefs and Cowboys at home. That's going to be a tough stretch right there. Buccaneers is another rematch. We beat them 2 years in a row, though. I'm not too worried about that. And then I think that stretch that I'm just most concerned, I think, about that stretch, the Packers-Bills stretch. And then other than that, I'm not too concerned. Everything, we got a home game against the Rams, away against the Dolphins, and then home against the Lions. That's going to be a tough battle for sure. The Lions are a really tough, gritty team, and we saw that. They started out fast last year in the NFC Championship game. I thought that game was a loss for us, and it was one of the craziest games to ever watch, honestly, as a 49ers fan, the way we came back from that just deficit that we were in, and to go to the Super Bowl from that. But overall, the schedule release, it's a good schedule. I'm not too worried about it. It'll be a fun time to watch the 49ers this year, obviously. I'm waiting. I'm ready for 49ers football. It's already May. Rookie mini camp just ended, I think, last week. And then, so we're going to be getting into OTAs coming up in the next week or 2 weeks from now. And then eventually we'll be getting into training camp in July. And then 49ers football is going to be back in September. So September 9th is our first game of the season. So let me know what you guys' thoughts are on the 49ers schedule this year. What are your biggest concerns? And I guess, honestly, we should do a way too early prediction of the season. So let me pull up the schedule again. A way too early win-loss prediction for the 49ers this year. So way too early win-loss predictions for the year. Let's just go to it week by week. So we got week one Jets. I think we got a win there. 1-0. Week 2 against the Vikings, I think we're 2-0. Week 3, I think we pull out the win there against the Rams at Levi's South at SoFi Stadium. Week 4 against Drake May and the Patriots, I see ourselves 4-0 right there. week five against the Cardinals at home. And it's a game I feel like we should be able to beat the and honestly all of our NFC West rivals this year. I think the Rams are going to be the toughest, but I think we're 5-0 by week five against the Cardinals. Thursday night football against the Seahawks in Seattle is going to be kind of difficult, and I see ourselves going 6-0. I see ourselves starting out hot again like we did last season. We're 5-0 last season. I see ourselves going 6-0. Week 7, this is where it gets a little rocky. I think we play the Chiefs, and honestly, I think we lose to the Chiefs again, guys. And don't give me a flack for it. This is just the regular season, so I see ourselves losing against the Chiefs, which is unfortunate, I hate to say, because I hate the Chiefs so much. But I see ourselves, we're going to be 6-1 by Week 7. And then we go in, but don't worry about it because we play the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football and we're going to embarrass them and bring us our record up to 7-1 and then going feeling good into the bye week. We're playing the Buccaneers. I see ourselves 8-1 right there. We're beating the Bucs in Tampa. Week 11 against the Seahawks. Can we sweep the Seahawks again? I think we're sweeping the Seahawks again. So right then and there, we're 9-1, right? 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, we're 9-1. And then we go to play the Packers in Lambeau. And this is going to be a tough game. But I think we're going to pull out the win against the Packers, against Jordan Love. And we're going to be kind of, you know, it's going to be, I think Jordan Love's going to kind of become the new Aaron Rodgers for the 49ers-Packers rivalry, where we're going to be owning him in the playoffs. And hopefully, I think, yeah, I see ourselves beating the Packers week 12. And then week 13, I see the 49ers losing against the Bills on Sunday night football. So right there, we have two losses on the season against two AFC teams. Because then I feel like the Niners are always not the best. Like, I don't know why, but the matchups against AFC teams for the Niners are always so difficult. We lost to the Ravens last year. That one just kind of was upsetting because of the four crazy interceptions that happened in that game. But I mean, like, we lose to the Chiefs, we lost to the Bills that last time, but we didn't have a starting quarterback there. We didn't have Jimmy there. So I see ourselves at this point in the season, we're 6-1, 7, 8, 9, 10. So we're going to be 10-2 by week 13. And then week 14 against Caleb Williams, we're going to win that game there. So we're 11-2. And we play the Rams. And I think we could honestly lose to the Rams there. So we're 11-3. Lose to the Rams on Thursday night football. It's a short week after playing the Bills. Or the Bears, excuse me. So, you know, it's a quick turnaround for the Niners. And then week 16 against the Dolphins, Mike McDaniels, Tua Tagovailoa. They got OBJ now. They got Tyreek Hill. And I see ourselves beating them again. I think the Kyle Shanahan just kind of owns Mike McDaniel. We beat them once against Mike McDaniels. But I see Kyle Shanahan just out coaching him there. And then we play the Lions on Monday Night Football. And that's going to be another tough game. I don't know. I think potentially the Niners can lose this game, but I think it's the last primetime game of the season on Monday Night Football. Again, we got a little bit longer break for the Niners, so I think I could see ourselves beating the Lions there and then beating the Cardinals at Week 18 away. So what is that record there, guys? I kind of lost track. That's 1, 2, 3. That's 6-1, 7-1, and then we got 8-1. 9-1. Did I say we were going to beat the Packers? 10-1. Yeah. 10-2. 11-3. Or 11-2. 11-3. There we go. And then I said we're going to lose to the Rams, I think. And then 12-3. Potentially 14-3 or 12-4. But I'm going to go 14-3. And then how many games did I just say there? But anyway, we'll go Rams loss, we go Chiefs loss, and then I think we go Bills loss. So three losses on the season there. I mean, 49ers only losing three games in the season. That makes us 14-3 on the season. So yeah, 14-3. I think we got a chance to be 14-3 again this season, guys. So that is, there it is. There's there is the way too early and, you know, not a lot of context record prediction for the 49ers in 2024. So Yeah, I mean, that's the schedule over there for you guys and that prediction there. So I think we should start talking about the Jared Goff contract. So Jared Goff just recently in the past couple of days signed a 4-year, $212 million contract, $170 million guaranteed, making him the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL yearly. He's going to be making $53 million a year, right behind Joe Burrow, who's making $55 million a year. Burrow is the number one paid quarterback in the NFL. And we go, if you want to talk about the top five quarterbacks, it goes Burrow, Goff, Herbert with $52.5 million. In him with Harbaugh this year, I think they're going to be scary in the AFC West. Lamar Jackson at $52 million, fourth highest paid quarterback. And then Jalen Hurts, Philadelphia, $51 million per year. So what can we see? Obviously, Brock Purdy is going to be a $50 million quarterback. $50 million per year quarterback is what it's looking like after the Jared Goff contract, guys. And luckily, we still have Brock Purdy on his very, very cheap pick 262 quarterback rookie deal, and he's still got two more years on this deal. He's got this year and then next year, but after this year, depending on how well he does, that's when the 49ers are going to be extending him, very, very likely extending him as long as he is able to perform the way he has been. And so Brock Purdy, if we want to talk about where he's going to be at this offseason, well, this is going to be his first full offseason with no injury as the 49ers starting quarterback. You know, as a rookie, he obviously didn't get many reps because Trey Lance and Jimmy G were there. And then he tore his UCL his second season after the loss against Philadelphia. So he didn't have an offseason. He was there just recovering and just working his way back from that injury there. So he came back sometime in training camp last season. And then now we're going to see Brock Purdy with a full offseason. And the last two seasons, what we've seen from Brock Purdy, he's a fantastic quarterback. He's one of the top 10, top 12 quarterbacks in the league. And with Brock Purdy having a full offseason, I mean, that could do wonders. That's probably going to be doing even more wonders for Brock Purdy. And we could be seeing him have another Pro Bowl season for the 49ers, another potential MVP candidate, excuse me, for the 49ers this season. So 100%, we're probably going to be seeing Brock Purdy making $50-plus million a year. I mean, more than Jared Goff, I'm assuming. We might make him the top three highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL. But this is all assuming that Brock Purdy comes out again this season and just has an insane year again. You know, throwing 30-plus touchdowns, throwing maybe 10 interceptions for 42,000-plus yards. 4,200-plus yards in the season, passing yards. And I don't know if you guys have seen some of the photos of Brock Purdy this season, in the offseason, but he's put on about like 10, it looks like 10, 15 pounds of muscle. And I think he talked about it a little bit, and it's obvious. Yeah, you put on a lot of muscle in the offseason because that stuff kind of wear and tear comes off of all that muscle. Once you get into the season, he's not going to be looking that big all year long. But this is the time where you get big, you get strong, and just get into the big football shape that you can get in order to protect yourself and get ready for the season. But Jared Goff, $170 million guaranteed contract. And so Brock Purdy, he's probably going to be making that next year once the 49ers extend him, the 49ers franchise quarterback. So It's gonna be exciting to see how Brock Purdy does, you know, in OTAs and in training camp. See how good he looks, and hopefully he has all of his weapons with him, aka Brandon Ayuk. And I think we'll talk about that. I mean, there's not really a lot to talk about. There's been just John Lynch coming out a couple times saying that they're in progress of trying to extend Brandon Ayuk with the 49ers. There was a lot more of that drama a couple weeks ago. Now it's kind of died down after the draft. There's no trade rumors going on about him or Debo anymore. Debo's here to stay for this season, at least. We got our new first-round draft pick, Ricky Pearsall, another wide receiver for the 49ers. We got a lot of receivers on this roster, and I think we gotta eventually do a breakdown on that. And, I mean, obviously we're going to be seeing a lot more. We're going to be able to break down that a lot more once we see the OTAs and just the training camp go down. But Brandon Ayuk, I mean, that's Brock Purdy's main target. I feel like all of his targets are big time, but Brandon Ayuk is our wide receiver one, and to see him go would be unfortunate. And it's just the only thing with him, I don't see him as good as a Justin Jefferson. So I don't think he should be making more than like a Justin Jefferson or stuff like that. But you've seen the wide receiver market. He's going to be making $25 million plus a year, maybe potentially $28 million, something like that. But we'll just have to see about that, guys. So that goes with the Brock Purdy contract coming up for this season. It's going to be interesting. And now let's dive a little bit into the Nick Sorensen interview, our new defensive coordinator. He's been with the 49ers since 2022. He was the defensive pass game specialist and nickels back coach for the 49ers. And he's an inside the building hire, obviously, for the defensive coordinator job, a former safety in the NFL, and he was a former Seahawks special teams assistant under Pete Carroll, and he was also the Jaguar special teams coach a couple years back, special teams coordinator coach a couple years back. And so just in an interview, it was very interesting to listen to him, Nick Sorensen, because all the answers were really surface level answers. And I was listening to Matt Maiocco on the 49ers talk podcast. He used a lot of cliches about like the 49ers defense and a lot of what like people were asking him what they expect from the 49ers defense. He just gave the cliches like, well, we're going to be playing hard, we're going to be playing fast. And one of the things that stuck out to me, because they asked the question like, how are you going to fix the 49ers run defense? Because obviously it was not where the 49ers wanted it to be last year. And he didn't even give... Honestly, I didn't really like the answer that he gave. It was more of just like, oh yeah, I've seen the issues with the 49ers, with the run defense, and we're going to fix it, is basically all he said. And it's like, okay, well, you can't give us any like kind of examples of, oh, we're really going to be practicing on setting the edge better so we don't get those guys running on the outside of us, or especially on a lot of the teams were getting us with the short game, the short kind of screen passes last season. Didn't talk about that at all. But he did bring up a little bit. They brought up Brandon Staley, who we signed, the former Chargers head coach. And he's coming in this year as assistant head coach. And he interviewed for the defensive coordinator job. And we obviously gave him we got the inside hire with Nick Sorensen. But Brandon Staley, he called him a bright, humble guy. And it should be interesting to see kind of his role with the 49ers this year. And obviously, I think the two are going to be talking a lot with each other. Sorensen talked about how he's going to be able to process Staley's brain about the defenses and everything, because Brandon Staley is a defensive-minded coach. And then I just got a couple bullet points here. There wasn't a lot that Sorensen said, but then he talked a little bit about our draft picks, Renardo Green, cornerback, and then our safety Mustafa, and then linebacker Bethune. He said all three of those guys play the type of football the Niners play, and obviously that's the reason why the 49ers drafted them, because they see that these guys are big physical players who are ball hawks and will hit people hard, and that's the 49ers brand of football that we have on defense. So having those guys on the field, it'll be interesting, because rookies on 49ers teams are really hit and miss, honestly, like about the amount of impact that they have on the season. Renardo Green, he said that he's going to be taking a lot of snaps, especially in training camp and in the OTAs, in the nickel cornerback position. And I think that could be great, because that position there for us last year was up in the air until we had Lenore mainly playing that towards the end of the season for the 49ers. But if we can have like a solidified guy at nickelback, because we also had Isaiah Oliver, that didn't work out at all with the Steve Wilks defense. If Renardo Green can be that nickel guy for us, if we can see him kind of be like not a Kello Witherspoon, my guy, Kaywan Williams in the nickel cornerback position. If he kind of be like that guy, I mean, Kaywan was small. This guy's a little bit bigger than him, but just a guy like in that nickel spot right there that is going to be a monster. You don't have to worry about that position. I really hope that's kind of what Renardo Green can be for the 49ers. And then we can move Diamador Lenore to the outside corner spot, outside from with Tarvarius Ward, the two guys on the outside corner positions. And then Mustafa, he's a safety. We're going to have him. It's going to be interesting to see his role for the 49ers this year, because we're going to have Talanoa Hufanga come back for us, coming off the ACL injury. But then keep in mind, Jair Brown is going to be our second-year player. And I thought he made a big impact for the 49ers last year. He had a pretty solid outing in the Super Bowl. I think he had about He had 7 tackles, and he made a big pick in the third quarter against Patrick Mahomes. So I'm excited to see Jair Brown. I think he's going to have, honestly, a breakout year for the 49ers. I think him having a Jair Brown and Hufanga tandem in the secondary for the 49ers for the safeties is going to be huge. And then with Bethune, who's also a linebacker, it'll be interesting to see his role on the 49ers defense. And then they talked about a little bit in the interview, obviously. It was the big old questions last year about Steve Wilks coaching in the box last year, and it was not working out for the 49ers, so he ended up starting to coach on the sidelines. And so, I mean, it was obvious the reporter's going to ask, so where are you planning on coaching from? And he said he's going to play call from the field, obviously. And he said, I want to look the players in the eyes. And hopefully, I want to see... I don't know much about Nick Sorensen, honestly, but I kind of hope he's going to be more of like a D'Amico Ryans, Robert Saleh, kind of really energetic, gets his players going like on the sidelines and everything after like big plays. I really hope that's what we're going to be seeing from Sorensen this year. So it'll be interesting to see, because he seemed very laid back kind of, and he seemed very laid back in this interview, and I feel like we didn't really get to see the real. Who really Nick Sorensen is. And granted, this is his first time in a big spot, in a big coaching position role. So this was his first time in a real interview, talking in front of a whole bunch of press. So, I mean, it takes time, I feel like, to get more comfortable in front of the press. So, one more thing he talked about was D. Winners and Jalen Graham, because someone asked about the linebacker's position since Dre Greenlaw is going to be out. And Dre Greenlaw, unfortunately, I don't know if you guys saw the news, but he's going to be out for, he's still going to be out for a long time. He snapped his Achilles in the Super Bowl. So that's a really long process there. But he talked about, like, what someone asked, what's the linebacker kind of thing going to be playing, what the 49ers are going to be up against with Fred Warner, who's going to be the second linebacker out there. Is it going to be D. Winners? Are we going to see Jalen Graham out there? And now with our new draft pick, Tatum Bethune from Florida State. But we can't forget the signing that we also made, Devondre Campbell, who was from the Packers, a linebacker. And the way it sounded like Nick Sorensen was saying was, he was like, yeah, we got D. Winters and Graham. They've also obviously been making some great progress for the couple years they've been here. But we also got Devondre Campbell, who is a veteran. And from what it sounds like Devondre Campbell is the obvious front runner to win that first linebacker spot for the 49ers, going hand with Fred Warner. So that's what it's looking like. That was a little bit of the Nick Sorensen interview. There wasn't too much information he gave. And that was a little bit of the background of who Nick Sorensen is. He was an assistant for the Seahawks and for the Jaguars. So it'll be really interesting, again, to see if 49ers have a third different defensive coordinator in 3 years. And, yeah, just how is the defense going to react again? I've heard a couple things. I think Matt Maiocco was talking about it. That guys inside the building, guys on the defense, were really excited about Sorensen being the new defensive coordinator. So we'll see. It's good that he has chemistry with these guys. So it might be exactly what the 49ers need. So that is pretty much all the news that we have going on today, guys. What are we going to be able to look for in the coming weeks? We got OTAs coming up in the next 2 weeks. And then I think just the biggest thing there, again, is the Brandon Ayuk contract. And let me quadruple check when 49ers OTA start so you guys have... So I know, too, but so we kind of get a hand on when the 49ers are reporting again. And here, straight from the 49ers, we're going to have... Oh, that's their schedule. I'd like to see their OTAs and off-season workouts. And we got the 49ers are going to be reporting for OTAs May 20th. So this is next week, May 20th and 21st, May 23rd, May 28th through 29th, and May 31st. Those are when OTAs start. So May 20th is the first day of OTAs, and that's going to be Tuesday, Friday the 17th, 18, 19, oh, Monday. So Monday, OTA starts, so that's when everything's going to start beginning, guys. And then we got mandatory minicamp June 4th through 6th, and then the dates are going to be coming out eventually for 49ers training camp. So OTAs and Brandon Ayuk contract are something to be looking for in the coming weeks. Is Brandon Ayuk going to be showing up for OTAs? Probably not if he doesn't have a contract. something that's unfortunate, but we have been seeing a couple of videos on social media. He's getting his work in, guys. We saw him getting his work in. Debo's been getting his work in. And also some news here that I saw RSF 49ers post that 49ers Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall have actually already been practicing together and been throwing and catching balls from each other. So that's great. They're already getting their chemistry going together, guys. And that's basically the biggest headlines for the 49ers. And one more thing I want to get into. I started reading this 49ers book, so I want to call this segment here the Book Corner. I don't know if maybe you guys will enjoy it or not, but it's kind of a new thing I want to start trying because I'm trying to really get into reading. I was like, what better way to get into reading than reading about the 49ers? So I'm reading this book. It's called 100 Things 49ers Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die by Daniel Brown. And this is what it looks like. I just finished chapter 5, so I'm on chapter 6. And the first 5 chapters so far, it's been really good and really interesting. It's just a lot of facts and history about the 49ers. So if you really want to catch up on your 49ers history, this is the book to do, to read so far. I'm enjoying it a lot. And I'm interesting too because the title says 100 Things 49ers Fans Should Know and Do. So I'm really interested in getting more into the book. And like, okay, what do I need to do as a 49ers fan? What can I do to become a better fan? So hopefully it gets into that coming up soon. But the first 5 chapters, it just went into The Catch, Bill Walsh, and these are what the chapter names are called. Joe Cool, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, and his pinky finger. So automatically right there, you just got a whole bunch, you're just jam-packed, your face just gets filled with 49ers history, legendary history, when you're talking about the Cats and Bill Walsh, Ronnie Lott and Joe and Jerry and all that. And the two biggest things I got from it, reading the book, is that just the mindsets that these guys were in the 80s and how much they wanted to win and how much they wanted to be the best on the field at all times, that just the way Bill Walsh demanded perfection and demanded greatness is something that is so fascinating to me. And I just really hope that that's how kind of the 49ers culture is. I don't even think, honestly, that's really how any NFL team, any teams anymore are like. I feel like everything's just gotten so much softer. But these guys, just reading the book so far, it just seems like this is their livelihood. This is obviously their livelihood, and this is what they live to do, and they live to win. And Jerry Rice, one of the quotes from Jerry Rice, he said, "You practice for the purpose of being the best." And that's just about practice. We're just talking about practice. You practice for the purpose of being the best, because that's where champions are made, obviously, on the practice field. And then Joe Montana, he was talking about after the Super Bowl, and I saw this, it's probably on, it was on a documentary about Joe Montana too. I think the Peacock one, or probably, I'm sure, The Football Life on NFL Network about Joe Montana, but I just love hearing that story. And he just said, he was talking about after the Super Bowl, after they won, I forgot which Super Bowl it was, but he was talking about, we wanted to be perfect. We wanted to complete 100% of our passes. And so after the 49ers won the Super Bowl, he was just kind of in the locker room, just processing everything that went wrong, like all the passes he didn't make. And his dad was there and looking at him, he was like, "What, dude, why are you upset? You just won the Super Bowl." He's like, "Forget about the passes you didn't make. Enjoy your time for winning." But Joe Montana wanted to be perfect because this is what Bill Walsh instilled in all his players. They wanted to be able to complete. He was going back and thinking, what could have I done better to win this game, you know, by even more, to be perfect? And that's just the mindset that all these guys had. Even Ronnie Lott, big time hitter. They just had this mindset of that, and it's been really interesting to read, guys. So if you guys think this is something that you guys want to hear more about, if you don't want to read the book, then I could kind of go chapter by chapter with you guys in each podcast, just going into the history about it. So I think chapter 6 I'm on right now, the next chapter is going to be about Steve Young, so that's going to be a fun one. But yeah, so 100 Things, the book is not too long if you guys want to get it, honestly. It's about 280 pages, something like that. Daniel Brown, but I found it at Barnes & Noble. I'm not sponsored or anything. I want to share knowledge with you guys and share some 49ers history if it's something you guys are looking for. But it's a fun read so far, and I'm enjoying it. So that was the Book Corner, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that part of this podcast. And just to recap the 49ers schedule, I'm feeling pretty good about it. Jared Goff contract, how's that going to look for Brock Purdy? He's probably going to be making $50-plus million a year if he goes and balls out again this year. And then Nick Sorensen, defensive coordinator for the 49ers. We didn't really get much out of him. We couldn't really see a lot out of him in his first interview with the 49ers, but that's okay. And we're just going to have to see basically what the 49ers defense is going to look like this year with so many losses that the 49ers endured, but how many pickups that we also made, how many signings we made. You know, we lost Arik Armstead and all that. So it's going to be different for the 49ers defense this year. And it's a little scary, but a little bit of excitement too. And then 100 things 49ers fans should know and do before they die. A good read so far, guys. So going into it, I think OTAs are next week, so you guys tune back in after the first week of OTAs. We're going to be talking about a little bit here on the 49ers podcast, so that's going to be all it for here, guys. On this week of the 49ers podcast, it's good to be back, and I'll see you guys later. So go Niners and stay faithful, baby. Talk to you guys.
Touchdown! San Francisco!